Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, our first guest threw it all away. More than 20 years ago, Chris Kent was working here in the Montanati as an electrician. And you know how much money they make. He ran away to become a comedian. He still hasn't seen since. He has new nationwide tour starts in September, including dates in the Everyman here in Cork and the Olympia in Dublin. All dates are on chriskentcomedy.com. Chris, good afternoon to you.
How are you?
Yeah.
Great. It's nice to be back in the Montanati.
Were you employed here full-time as an electrician or just doing jobs around?
Oh, I was here full-time, yeah. When it was about 20 years ago, it was going through a revamp. It's probably been through a few since. It's a lot nicer than I remember it.
Right.
And I definitely would remember putting that light up.
That's quite a big light. That's a massive light in front of us there.
I was here as an apprentice electrician 20 years ago doing comedy at night time.
Right.
You know, leaving the building site here and off up the country to do my little 5 minutes on stage everywhere.
Okay. So were you a good electrician?
I was, yeah. No, I'm.
Oh, good. Everyone's heaving a sigh of relief here, Chris.
You're okay. You can take it easy.
It's not going to catch fire.
You're safe.
Yeah.
I made jokes about being a bad electrician because no one likes jokes about being a good electrician.
Mm.
And also, nobody likes a funny electrician. So that's what I've learned.
Why not?
You need an element of trust. You don't want some fella cracking jokes when he's wearing your fuse board or putting in your shower. You know, you're like, you just concentrate.
you just concentrate on what you're doing there, please.
Yeah. You just concentrate in the shower there.
Yeah. So did you like being an electrician or was just...
I did. But I love being a comedian. So that's the only difference.
You just like being a comedian more.
I like it more. I like it a lot more.
Yeah. But the thing was, is that, you know...
Yeah.
Electricians are thin on the ground.
I know.
There's comedians in every street corner.
I know. I'm trying to hide it from some people because no matter how successful the comedy's going, someone always needs a socket in their porch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not an electrician anymore. I don't do that anymore.
Could you do with the odd time?
I do with the odd time, but like the less the people know, the better.
Okay. But there's not like a badge you have to get.
No, I went back to it, sure, during COVID when all the gigs were gone. I was back working as an electrician again. So I was back on the tools full time.
And what was that like?
It was scary in the beginning. I was really nervous because I didn't do it in like 10 years.
Yeah.
And then after a couple of months, I was like, this is great. Oh my God. Money in the bank every week. Not something I was used to being a jobbing comedian.
Yeah.
I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Okay, and you weren't tempted to stay then?
I wasn't, no, because as much as I love comedy, I'm not really passionate about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm looking at little things around here now. I'm trying to, it's quite well done.
But are there things you'd fix up here?
No. It actually looks good, but I'm often backstage looking at conduit and stuff going, that's a bit crooked now. That was a bit lazy.
Yeah.
That was a bit lazy. They haven't cut the tire wraps up there. So it never leaves me fully, you know what I mean?
Do you go around people's houses like tuttering under your breath?
A little bit. I'm like, that's a bit, come on now. You could have got a level out, you know?
Yeah.
Have a bit of respect.
Do tradespeople do that a bit?
I think so.
The way you get, someone comes in to look at your, a plumber comes in to look at your boiler and then they're going,
yeah.
What electrician did you get?
Give out the last guy. They always do that. Absolutely, yeah. It's a way of setting yourself up. You know what I mean? You slag the last person and then you're sort of, you're coming in saving the day, basically.
Yeah, okay. And word doesn't get back that like Tommy was slagging off Johnny kind of thing.
It's kind of we don't care. We're agreeable to be slagged by the next person as well.
You accept that.
Absolutely. It's part of the trade.
But you wouldn't slag in advance. You wouldn't say, no matter what you do, don't employ that guy.
No, you wouldn't, no.
Yeah.
It would take a lot.
Like dangerous kind of thing.
Yeah. It would take a lot.
Did that ever happen in your days as an electrician?
Anything dangerous?
No, they should come across work that was done that was like by some cowboy.
Yes. And it's John up the road. He's not even an electrician. He was doing it. And John obviously is colourblind by the looks of things, you know?
Yeah.
I regret opening this fuse board in this house because John up the road was at it, you know that way?
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason as well I wanted to get out of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Because of the danger and the bad work.
The bad work.
Was there a lot of it?
No, not really, but there was a bit.
Are you rowing it back now?
There was a bit. John, if you're listening, I'm sorry.
Yes, yeah. Well, it probably wasn't John. It would have been many Johns.
Exactly.
Kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And when you're a comedian now, because you're a full-time comedian, is it like running your own business?
It is a bit, and that's the part I'm bad at. All the admin, the invoice, and all of that stuff. I love doing it. I love writing jokes. I love doing jokes. I love writing new shows. It's all the other stuff. It's all the businessy stuff that I don't like, and I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
And my wife kills me for not getting back to emails and not opening emails. She can't. She can't stress with that. Like, she took over my life last year. I gave up the internet for about 2 months, completely went offline. And she took over my admin. And she was like, you haven't opened an email in months. She's like, what am I taking over here? So
why don't you open emails?
I just better things to be doing with my day.
Okay.
Like, you know?
Yeah. What would you be doing rather than thinking about there'd be stuff, offers of work.
Looking at conduit on the wall.
Yeah, that's probably more.
Yeah.
Comics are always like, on the lookout.
That's right.
For stuff.
Yeah.
Has it got harder to be on the lookout for stuff? Because when you go around the streets, when you're sitting on a bus, everyone's looking at their phones. Nothing's happening.
That's correct, yeah. I mean, I sort of look within. I'm more of a, I talk about what's going on directly around me. So it's in my family. It's in my house. I have two small kids that are forever entertaining. And my wife and my family. I'm very lucky. All my family are really entertaining, my mom, my dad. So it's all around me all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have to look very far.
Right.
I just have to be quiet and look at it. Because everybody was very surprised when I was a comedian, but I was always sitting there watching stuff and watching my dad and watching all his funny behaviour and sort of taking it all in. I was unaware of it at the time, but I was, you know, taking it all in for a later time.
Yeah, so a lot of your material, like when you go home this evening...
Yeah.
Sitting with your family.
Absolutely.
Are they all like fraught with anxiety?
No,
going?
They don't mind.
Is this going to appear on a stage
no,
in the Everyman?
No, my wife has come to terms with it. She's like, go for it, do whatever you want to talk about. And obviously, if I ever crossed the line, she'd probably tell me about it, but I haven't crossed one yet.
Okay.
And I've been doing it like 20 years. So.
And she told you where the line is. Do you know where the line is?
I don't know where. I might find out one day. You never know. Could be the next show. Who knows?
Are you worried when your kids are older that that might be, you know, in therapy, saying my dad.
Dad's a comedian,
My entire life was up on stage.
Yeah, I try not to give too much away about them. Like, you know, I would say this or that. I'd be a little bit vague. I wouldn't be going out there reading out their report card or anything. Like, I don't put out that many details, you know?
Yeah.
So I'd say it'll be all right.
And would you say your stand-up is very Cork?
No, like, this is the thing. Like, some people will go, did it get you outside Cork? I'm like, I'm speaking English. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, they get me everywhere. I've done gigs in America. I've done gigs in Australia. I've done gigs all over Ireland, all over the UK. It's anecdotal. It's storytelling. I wouldn't say it's particularly Cork at all.
Yeah.
Just it's family stuff. It's everyday stuff. So everybody can normally relate, to be honest.
Yeah. But would they be mostly Irish be going to your gigs outside of Ireland?
Outside of Ireland? No, not in England.
Really?
It would be mostly English, like 80% English and then 20% Irish. Maybe like some... Maybe the English are there, second generation, like their parents could be Irish or something like that. But it's a lot of different nationalities in Australia. There was quite a lot of Irish there, I have to say.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'm happy to play any room. And before I got a following, I was doing gigs all over, like in Scandinavia, all over the world, and there'd be no Irish in the room. So you still have to be able to do it, and you still have to be able to deliver.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Scandinavia.
Yeah.
Are they big laughers?
Well, they have better English than me, so, you know, they're...
Well, you're from Cork,
they're
you know.
They're well able. Yeah, exactly.
And has your stand-up changed over the years? Are you still keeping it, talking about your family? Might you reach your point where you have to think, I'm going to have to talk about different things?
I always actually contemplate this. Am I going to have to think about other stuff? You know, am I going to have to think outside my own life? But... For me, it's my favourite thing when I see other comedians talking about it, because all comedians are talking about the same things. If you go off and you go, I'm going to talk about this or I'm going to talk about that, there's 1,000 other comedians talking about that.
Yeah.
There's 1,000 other comedians doing jokes about Trump. There's 1,000 other comedians doing jokes about whatever else is going on in the world. You know what I mean? Whereas a little minutiae stuff that happens in and around me, stuff that is the most satisfying for me to talk about, stuff that my daughter will come up with or my son will come up with or... That's more interesting to me. And when I watch other comedians, often my favourite bit is, oh, it's his story about what happened on that date or whatever else, you know?
Mm.
So maybe I'll look outward one day, but for now I'm happy enough kind of rinsing my own life for all the material I can get out of it.
And do you be taking notes at the same time when all of this is going on, or do you kind of sneak off afterwards?
I think it sneaks into my head a little bit and I'd be thinking about stuff, you know what I mean? And then eventually I might write it on my phone and then it just is a bit boring now. I'm really sorry, it's very boring. And then you just go out and you try the story on stage and see if they laugh. And if they do, you do it again. And if they don't, you maybe don't do it again.
And do you know what's funny at the time it's happening? Not when you're on stage, but if one of your kids says something or your wife
says
something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Oh, you
have
do?
Have a good idea. Yeah, have a good idea. But every now and again, you're caught by surprise. You're like, I wasn't expecting that to be funny, but there's something about it that's it's going, oh, you think you should tell people about this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit shameful, or maybe it's a bit like, ooh, You know what I mean? But you're going, actually, a lot more people are related to that than I thought they would.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Give us an example of that. I don't want to put you on the spot.
That. I don't know if I can do that.
I don't want you to have to sleep in the car when you get home.
I'm writing a show at the moment, and I have material about providing a stool sample.
Yeah.
So there we are now in the middle of the day talking about this.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would be... I was like, for me, it was funny. The whole thing was really funny. But I was like, I'm not sure if other people are going to relate. But so many people relate. We all do it every day. Do you know what I mean?
Provide stool samples.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, not officially, but we all. It's something everybody does every day. And I couldn't believe it. Like, that's in my new show now that I'm working on at the moment. And it's about 6 or 7 minutes long. And I'm like, I'm surprised how much material I was able to get out of it. It's a lot. It's a very complicated... they make it very complicated. There's a lot of rules when you're providing a stool sample, basically.
Do you have to put it in... Do you do it at home and then bring it into
them? Oh, you do it at home.
Them?
It's frowned upon to do it outside your house. Yeah, absolutely. I would say do it behind closed doors, if at all
and
possible.
And they give you a bag or something?
They don't give you a bag, no. It's kind of a little... It looks like a little lighter. And at first I was going, how the hell am I going to fit it in that?
Yeah.
You don't. It's a little wand on it and you dip it into it.
Oh, right. It's not the whole thing.
No. It's called a sample. It's a sample, Sean. It's a sample, not the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? You don't go to get the whole carpet when you're getting a sample. You bring a little square of it home and you say, will this go up my walls? I don't know. But you know, it was so complicated. It was just like there were so many rules. You couldn't get it wet or you couldn't, you know what I mean? And I was like, straight away, that was baffling to me. Like, how am I going to figure this out, you know?
Okay. And was that okay?
Well, it was okay in the end.
No worries.
I was coupled with the stool run, the school run. It was all in the one morning.
Yeah.
It was extremely stressful trying to get my kids out the door and going like, we need to be out the door in 10 minutes, guys. And I was going upstairs to sort of figure this out.
Yeah. Did they do a story time in their school? What did daddy do today?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the internet has no shame. So I can kind of ask that question. So how am I going to do this? Tell me how I'm going to figure this thing
out.
You know?
There's YouTube.
There's no shame at all. Yeah. I wasn't YouTubing it. No, I wasn't YouTubing it.
Chris, lovely to chat to you. Thanks very much, Sean.
Thank you.
ChrisKedComedy.com.
Amazing. Thank you.
If you want to find out more about his stool sample.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.